you're here. Fellowship, sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you. We're glad you're here.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, April 27th, 2016. I'm opened up to Ephesians, but I'm actually looking at the chapter of Philippians, and it reminds me of about, what, 4 or 5 years ago when I somehow got Philippians chapter 6, even though Philippians only has, what, 4 chapters?
It's been that long. It's the fifth year this year. October, I think it is.
Was
it October? Yeah. So this October is 5 years. That's like a
completion of five. Will be
like
entering
watch.
The sixth.
That's like a watch or something.
I'm going to watch it happen.
Listen to me. That's 1/4 of your birthday celebration. So I desire for my personal celebration 1/4 of what happened on that Thursday night. I want a little Lutzer.
A bobblehead Lutzer.
you had like 20 cakes. I'm only desiring 5.
You know, it was interesting when you said that from the podium that you've been a part of this radio ministry basically a quarter of its time. I was like, wow, I know you've been with me a long time, and it's like, you know, 5 years is a long time. So,
I didn't even realize it till I think it was that afternoon. I was laying in bed and I was just kind of closing my eyes for a few minutes and I kind of putting together some thoughts for what I would say that night. And it struck me that it was 5 years. And I thought, oh my gosh, like that's really crazy. And then I thought, gosh, you're celebrating 20 and that's 1/4 of that. And that's really, that's a significant chunk of time. Mm-hmm. So how long has Joey been with us then?
Joey's about 6 and a half.
6 and a half, okay.
Yeah, somewhere in there.
And Karen's like the long haul.
Yeah,
like
Karen
20.
Is getting very close to 20. I got to look at the records.
Oh, my God. You have to get her like a condo in Malibu or something.
Yeah, it's kind of incredible. In fact, is this the first time we've been together since the big event? I played, last week?
Do you really want to talk about this? Because we were together, and then you erased the show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
An accident.
That was devastating. In fact, I was telling a couple people, you know, I give that illustration where Jesus is walking through the crowds and someone grabs the tassel of his garment and like he says, power has left me. And I was walking around bemoaning to Holly. It's like the program that Jason and I did, it's gone. It's like all that energy and effort. And it was God inspired. I was excited about what we communicated and said and shared. And I couldn't wait for our listeners to tune in.
That was the one where we were offering all those freebies to people and
gone. And I erased it, and it was like as if power had left me. I was just walking around devastated. I'm like, you can't recreate that. And because you were traveling and out of town, it was like, what am I going to do now? And luckily, I thought, I'll call Phil Shepherd up with the Moody Broadcasting Network. And so, you know, it was fine. But, yeah, I was like, oh, that one hurt. That's happened, I think, in these 20 years, only one other time or 1.5 times. I can't remember. Maybe twice in 20
years.
Well,
I'm just so pleased to be part of that small select group.
Well, I'm glad you're here in the studio. And I know Ephesians has been speaking to you lately, but I've been speaking about a lot of different events since the big 20th celebration and then last Saturday.
You don't know how to come off the high hill, really.
Yeah, well, I kind of did. I was sick for those 10 days or, you know, I think I'm just about at 100% again. But, you know, the big letdown. And then I should add stock in Kleenex. I think I went through more boxes of Kleenex every half hour, blowing my nose. Anyways, enough of that. But, we got some neat events. In fact, our trip up to the Moody Church in Chicago for Dr. Oren Lutzer's last message as the senior pastor. Now, they're calling him, or they will be calling him, Pastor Emeritus. Yeah. And they don't want there to be like a clean break, even though he said for some months, hey, I have to give you guys a date, because he's been in this transition of them looking for a pastor for over a year, and it's like they're not moving forward. So he finally put a line in the sand and said, you know, this is the date. I want you guys to move forward. But he's going to continue with his Running to Win program, and he'll continue to speak and write
books.
It's
very difficult. I mean, I think about even area pastors that I know, much loved, Randy over at First Baptist in Savoy. It is very difficult for somebody to follow somebody who has had an immense impact, who is well-loved. It's very difficult, and it's not fair. I mean, I would tell somebody, if I was to have to follow somebody who had been in a pastor for a long, long time, You know, there needs to be a space between right. that where people can kind of work themselves out, or else you kind of jump in there and everything is like, well, you know, they used to do it this way, and you know, you're pretty good, but the other guy, yeah. I mean, because everybody when they leave after a long pastorate where they served and loved well, the myth grows.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? So all of a sudden, you know, and I love Randy. I'll use him as my example. I love Randy. But, I mean, now Randy can walk on water. Like, he yeah. can levitate. He yeah. never really truly yeah. touched the carpet at yeah. Sir First Baptist Savoy.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, and that's just, and I'm joking, but that's just because the myth kind of rises because you never realize how much you love somebody until they're gone. In fact, we had some folks from our church who left the church to move up to Chicago so they could be near their grandkids. And so they moved up there, and I got a really stellar note not too long ago from the person who said, we didn't realize and we didn't appreciate some of the things you did till we actually had to go somewhere else and try and experience the same mm, things, mm-hmm. and we can't, you know. And so sometimes when people leave or when you leave, all of a sudden people go, wow,
yeah.
I didn't realize, really. You know, it's sort of like when my wife goes away. We don't realize how many things she truly does because they just happen.
Yeah, yeah. I think I've heard of this before where there's like an 80% or more failure rate for a pastor that follows somebody that's been in ministry at that church for 20 or so years, where
sure.
where many churches now will have a transitional pastor, like somebody that'll come in mm-hmm. for maybe 6 months or a year. And so that way there's not as many comparisons, almost that bridge, that interim pastor. People know that he's not going to be the permanent one there. And so some of the comparisons are made, but then when somebody follows that pastor, there's a greater success potential.
Yeah, I don't... I mean, I guess that would be good. I don't quite agree with that personally. The only one that I've really seen, I'm sure there's a lot who have done it really well, but one of the ones that comes to mind is John Piper. When he transitioned out of his church, he brought up a guy and began to have really intentional conversations with him for about a year out, and then just began to disciple him. And so by the time that the new pastor came in behind him, he was well loved too.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a seamless kind of connection between the culture that John Piper had and this guy.
Oh, okay.
So it wasn't kind of this, because I think what happens, and I know that I've made this mistake, is you come into a new place and you move the furniture around. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean literally you move the furniture around, though I think that does happen. I did that in my own church and it wasn't a good idea. But you come in and you begin to change a lot of things simply because some ideologies, some philosophies in ministry are just a little bit different. And in church, things need to slowly turn. You can't turn too fast because it's not like you're turning one person. You're turning 100, 200, 500, 1,000 people.
Or a culture that's been established.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and you have an established culture, and people find comfort in that culture. They find peace in that culture. They find a lot of security in that culture. And so when you begin to shift it, it disrupts people. And I tell people, if you turn the boat too fast, people fall off.
Yeah.
And that's when you come in and you change, and all of a sudden you go, three families or four families have left. What's going on? Well, you know, turn the wheel back to the center a little bit because you're turning too fast. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, so, yeah.
Wow. Well, we're going to keep you around.
I didn't know we were going to really talk about pastoral transition today.
We're going to keep you in this radio hosting on Wednesday and Friday, hopefully for another 5, 10, 15, 20 years.
Was this your entryway into my transition?
Yeah. Come on in, William. Here's William.
No. It was easier to get rid of him than to buy him a watch.
Yeah. Oh, so everyone, stop by greatnewsradio.org. You'll see, I think, four different options, a trip up to Chicago. Chicago on Sunday, May 22nd. Then Ivan Parker's coming to town on Saturday, June 11th. You can find all about that. And the Artist Circle tickets and reserve seating and a meet and greet with him. Then on Tuesday, June 14th, I just started announcing this a couple days ago, but as many are probably aware of, Franklin Graham's doing his 50 state capital tour around the country to the 50 states. And his Decision American Tour prayer rally is coming to Springfield on Tuesday, June 14th. And we'll be taking a bus over to Springfield, leaving Marketplace Mall at 9 in the morning. And then our upcoming trip, and we haven't really even talked about this other than maybe a few mentions, that February 22nd through March 3rd, so it's many months out, but this gives you time to get your passport, get your savings account in order, and pray up a life-changing 10-day trip to Israel with the theme, See and Savor the Holy Land, taken out of Psalm 38:8, Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. And so we'll have more to say about that.
This trip's open to women, though, too, right?
Yeah, men and women. It could be, I know, three gals, three friends, all married women are going to come together. And I know in the past we've had father-son, father-daughter, mother-daughter, any combinations.
And I think that it's beneficial to say, because I don't think we've communicated it out really well yet, but because of some of the behind-the-scenes work that you've been able to do with Lindy in scheduling the trip and working some things out, that this is probably the best price that we've seen in the last number of trips.
Yeah.
I mean, some of the trips that had happened way in the past, are those prices are kind of gone. You know, it's just the economy and the way things are. It costs roughly $3,000 or so to go to Israel. But the $29.99 on the early bird special is stellar, because I think last time we went, it was about $3,900 for people to go. And so this is an amazing opportunity. So if you're kind of maybe on, you're on the fence and you say, you know, I would really like to go, but maybe I'm not sure, is this the time? Is this not the time? I'm not going to be the Holy Spirit and tell you it is the time, but I am going to be your financial advisor. And I'm going to say that this is really, truly a great price. In fact, I've been contemplating maybe seeing if my son would want to go, just because it's such a stellar price. And my wife and I have talked about him going, but thought, you know, I don't know, $3,900. I mean, what? I got four other kids. I mean, what? You know, but what does that look like? But this is a great price. And so,
it's all inclusive, $29.99, early bird special, and nice accommodations, the flight, the tips, everything is included in this, and the meals. And in fact, I'll point this out, the radio station doesn't make a dime on this. Mm-hmm. It's a break-even number, and nothing comes out of the radio ministry into this trip. It's not underwritten by listener donations. Those that are on the tour that pay to go onto the tour, that's all the monies that are used for the tour. Nothing else gets kicked into that or underwritten by the station. This is a self-supporting tour by those that attend the trip.
And you can really consider this to be an all-inclusive trip, in the fact that the extra money that needs to be spent is really as little or as much. I think you probably need, on the low end, somebody would need about $150 to cover some of the extra meals and that. But, I mean, I know that when we've gone before, I bring a little Ziploc bag down to breakfast. I put some pita bread and peanut butter in there, and then I carry that, eat that at lunchtime, and then you get back at the hotel for dinner. So, you know, it's as little or as much as you want to spend. I know after the first trip, the second trip, and then especially on the third trip, I mean, I spent really no money because there's nothing that I want to buy. There's nothing that I really want. I mean, we've done that. You know, my wife joked with me. She said, how much falafel did you eat? Because that denoted how much money we spent, because that's really where you're spending your money for kind of some of the lunches out and things like that. But it's really a great price this time. And that's one of the selling points. I don't want to just sit in the economic kind of sphere on this, but it's really a great price. And so if you're on the fence, consider it because of the price. Time of year's great because the weather's really great, too. Mm-hmm. And so it's going to be a good trip.
Yeah, I'm excited with the theme. I know I suggested like 6 or 8 options. What do you think? Because usually in the past, and this will be my 27th, 28th trip, I can't remember, but I usually have a very specific theme or intention, and it didn't come yet. And so a few came to mind, and I said, Jason, you know, you've had a heart for teaching and preaching and being a part of the last few trips to Israel. Is the Lord stirring anything in your heart? And I don't know, within a few hours or a day or two, because you were still praying up and seeking the Lord on whether you should be a part of this trip, and then you came with that theme. Was there a certain nudging or leading, or did you just say?
Why do you have to ask this? Because then it's going to reveal the absolute silliness of my devotion towards giving you that. I think you sent it to me, and I just kind of looked down your list, and then I thought, you know, I don't know. And I think that when you sent that to me, I had committed to going on the trip, but I wasn't quite sure. You know, there's some things I was still working out. And so, quite honestly, my wife had the Israeli cookbook out that I had bought for her on I think, the first or second trip.
Yeah.
And so she had it out on the counter, and I just looked at it, and I go, taste that hummus, the Lord is good. And I thought, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yeah.
Because really, one of the things that a lot of people say when they come back from Israel is the tastes.
Yeah.
You know, because when you're over there, I mean, and the breakfast meal, and dinner meal too, but I think the breakfast meal is even more pronounced because they have all their different salads, the olive oils, the hummus, all that different kind of stuff is there. And you really get to taste the Middle Eastern flavors. And so a lot of people will come back and they'll eat here. I hear people say, you know, I went to this restaurant and gosh, it just wasn't the same. And so when you're over there, you can really just taste.
And so much of it is fresh. I mean, it is a land of milk and honey. It's incredible, the irrigation and the fruits and vegetables and the things that are grown in the land.
I think a lot of people don't understand. I think when you're there, you really get a feel for the fact that Israel doesn't import a lot of things in, and therefore it eats seasonally. So whatever is fresh. Now, Israel is one of the few places in the world where they have four seasons.
Yeah.
So they're able to grow crops all year long. Yeah, so you're always eating fresh food. And it's funny because when I'm in Israel, I eat more, but I come back skinnier.
Yeah.
But because I'm eating like olive oil and fresh salads and fresh stuff like that, because Israel doesn't, they don't have, I mean, the dessert table is not, there's not cake and cheesecake and ice cream and all that kind of stuff, and they don't mix the cheese with the meats. And so a lot of the things that we would kind of pile on, they don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know,
but lots of great breads.
Oh my gosh, the bread is so great. And I would tell you that I was somewhere and they did it poorly, but it was enough to remind me that in breakfast they always have that croissant with that little bit of chocolate inside of it.
Yeah.
And
the swirl of it. Oh,
it is so good. It is so good. And it's one of their kind of mainstays. Or when we've been out, you're on the street and the guy with the big bread cart, and you get a hot piece of, you know, a big hot loaf of bread that you can eat.
Larry usually is buying one or two for the whole group.
I found a picture of that the other day. Actually, I had a picture of him at the camel cart buying that camel meat on the stick that he was eating.
Yeah, that was right beyond the Damascus Gate.
It was. It was in the neighborhood, and the guy took the meat out of like an old cooler on the ground. It was an interesting.
Yeah.
And he was trying to tell. He was trying to share it, and everyone was like, "I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so." And
I
know we're talking a lot about the food and the accommodations and the great price, but a unique thing, and this is why I've been so appreciative of your past involvements in the tour. You love to teach God's word on location, where the historical, the biblical events took place, and it's like having a new set of lenses on where you're seeing these biblical truths come alive, or you can connect that Kesher moment that I talk about, where you really connect with the biblical narrative, because this is the actual place where it took place. I mean, it's no longer just a story or a fable or something you learned in Sunday school. This is the Sea of Galilee that Jesus walked down. These are the areas where he brought healing or hope, or the leper was cured, or the lame person stood and walked and ran through the streets of
Jerusalem. Well, here's the thing, and I say this. I think I said it the last trip we went on in the pre-trip meeting, and I think I said it, and I said it to a gentleman at the meet and greet the other day. I said, if this is a vacation for you, then I can guarantee you I can select for you 10 other places that are much better to go to. If you want a vacation, this is a pilgrimage. And we need to reclaim the idea that it is, because if we don't, everything inside of us wants to treat it like a vacation. And it's not a vacation. You're not going to go there and not be unaffected. You're not going to go there and not grow in the grace and knowledge of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're not going to do that. And so you just need to give yourself over to it, because I've seen far too many people on these trips. I've been on three. This will be the fourth. I've seen people who fight it, and then on the last day, they like just crack open because it's going to happen. There's no possible way you're going to be somewhere that you knew that Jesus was. You're seeing the things that Jesus saw. You're looking out over the Sea of Galilee where Jesus walked, and you're not affected, because if you deeply believe what the scriptures say, then now suddenly the scripture now has water around it. It now has a sky over it. It now has these things around it. And so really that scripture, the theme fits, because you can taste in the morning. You can taste the humidity, or you can taste the fruit. You can taste things that Jesus would have tasted. The grapes and the olives grown in Israel are the same today as they were then. They didn't change. And so now you're eating those there. And so you're tasting and you're seeing and you're acknowledging that the Lord is good, and you'll be changed by it. So it's not a vacation. It is a pilgrimage. And for those people, I tell those people, I was talking to somebody the other day who's been a bunch of times, who's thinking about going again. And I said, for you, I have a special mission. And that is for you to shepherd those people who have never been, in such a way that they can experience and see the things that you see. It's not about waving the flag and saying, I've been to Israel 9 times. It's about, I've been to Israel 9 times, and now let me help you to see how the Lord has been at work on my trips. and then help other people to come to that place where they can be changed. And they can come back and infect their congregations of that and say, look, I read this story in the Bible. I read it differently because I saw something. I saw this rock. And there was a rock. Like, there really was a rock. And for some people, that's the moment. And for some people, I had one person, I don't know what trip it was on. I think maybe it was on the second one. And we were at Caesarea Philippi. And they were looking at, you know, Caesarea Philippi. Jesus says, you know, on this rock I will build my church. And there really is a huge rock. Now, was that the rock Jesus was referring to? We don't know. But it's a huge rock. I mean, it's noticeable. I mean, it would be easy. We knew that Jesus loved to kind of use the surroundings as his illustrations. And so he could have pointed to that rock and said, on this rock. But I had somebody say to me, they said, you know what? I doubted till I saw the rock. And when I saw the rock, it was undeniable. It's huge. It's heavy. It has weight. I can wrap my arms around it. I can touch it. It was real. And wait a second, if the rock is real, then the story is real, then Peter is real, and then Jesus is real.
Yeah.
And for some people, they just need that little bit of extra weight. Or for some people, they need that as not a moment between doubt and belief, but a moment of validation.
Yeah.
And so it is a pilgrimage. And I think that we need to look at it that way.
And all the camaraderie, the praying together, the sharing, the testimonies, it's just a powerful lifelong friendships that are made to kind of reinforce the experience. And we'll have orientation meetings and post-trip gatherings and other things that'll just make it a life-changing trip. So if you're interested, you can stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org. Just share your intentions. I want to know more. There's no obligation. We'll probably take anywhere from 25 to maybe 35 people, and we'll be talking more about it in the days ahead as we pray it through and work out the specific itinerary, and we have our hotels picked out and our flights, and it'll all be coming together. It's a 10-day tour to the Holy Land, February 22nd through March 3rd, and so if the Lord might be stirring in your heart a desire to hear the biblical narrative come alive in the very land where these historical events took place, then give us a call, 217-367-7777. That's 217-367-7777, or stop by greatnewsradio.org. All right, Jason, well, thanks for coming in. And I'll start looking at some
watches. I
didn't
know we were
doing
the Israel infomercial.
Yeah, maybe we'll have a watch by that Israel trip. You know. All right, thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.